Looking for love, come on home. Give them my love through all the time. become. How could I be so blind, baby, not to see you are the one? I let you slip on from me, honey. I let you walk on.
Kept this band together. I mean, why have the Ramones endured when so many other bands fall by the wayside? And, you know, a lot of your contemporaries, certainly the Ramones spearheaded the punk explosion in 76 and 77. There's not very many of those bands left today, and here are the Ramones.
Well, I guess it's because we really enjoy doing what we do. And there's, you know, without sound cliche, there's a real love for what we do. You know what I mean? We enjoy playing, we enjoy touring, we enjoy playing for our fans because we feel they're the best, and we enjoy playing for ourselves, you know what I mean? And I don't know, I think it's the ultimate high and it's the best therapy in the world, you know?
What do you remember about that first tour of England in 1976?
I remember it was really wild going over to England where, I mean, we were like, you know, we were selling out CBGBs and all. And, I mean, kind of, there was a wild scene going on there. But when we got over to England, it was, we were playing for 3,000 kids and everybody was already tuned in to what it was that we were all about. And I remember at the time the big thing going on in England was pub rock. Dr. Feelgood was the big band at the time, and Brimsley Schwartz, and you know, doing, I remember we were like treated like royalty when we got there. And then we did this club, Dingwalls, and basically the whole makeup of Dingwalls were all these kids that would later form these kind of groundbreaking bands of their own. And like at our sound check, we met like Johnny Rotten and Joe Strummer and all these people. And they were really, you know, they were totally taken with the band. And really, after that, when we left England at that point, you know, they they told us that, you know, we had turned them on, kind of opened them up, and inspired them to form their own bands, basically. When we came back in 77, the whole thing was full-blown. And I feel like from that point on, you know, we really kind of brought upon a radical change that would really sweep the world, you know what I mean?
Ramones' popularity is at an all-time high in Europe, and in particular places like South America.
Yeah, well, we're in South America. It's like this kind of mass hysteria that when we, especially like the last time we were there, it was just insane. Where, like for instance, in we landed in Brazil, and the airport was like, you had to walk into the terminal from outside, you know? And all these kids were on the outer deck of the like there was a deck at the terminal, outside deck, and all these kids were like screaming and just mobbing the deck. And when we went into the, to get our luggage, right? Like, the whole place was mobbed with kids, you know? We couldn't leave, like the luggage area. Like, even all the passengers, they were all, like, we're all being held hostage. And because the place was just swarmed with kids. And so they took us to a courtesy lounge. They brought a bus onto the runway, and we got a police escort to the hotel. And it was like, really wild. And Argentina, it was like, I went to do a radio station, and I got like attacked by 1,000 kids, and it was like really scary, you know, because in South America they just they're very passionate people, and they literally love you to death, you know. They want a chunk of your flesh, you know. That's what, it's not like here. It's very primal over there, you know what I mean? I mean, it's great, but
it's got to be really different for
you. It's very different when you kind of lose your sense of you know, well, you can't walk down the street. Right?
And here in America, Spin magazine, not long ago, naming the Ramones one of the 7 most important bands in rock history, with this quote: "No group in the last 18 years has been more important or influential." There's a real straight line from the Ramones to Nirvana. How did you feel when you saw that?
Well, it came, you know, it was unexpected. I didn't even know about the issue, you know. So when I found out, I was, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it was really great. I mean, it was, it kind of, you know, made me feel like there is justice in this world after all. You know, it was like a real honor. It was like really, really like the ultimate honor. And it was coming from you know, other artists and critics and fans, you know, I mean, they're the ones who kind of were involved with the voting. I mean, I just thought it was great being up there with my heroes, like the Beatles and the Stones and Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin, you know. And I can't wait till tomorrow.
I can't wait another day. So the Ramones' new album, Mondo Bizarro, is out on a new label, but you've gone back to an old familiar producer, Ed Stasian, who, of course, worked on the early Ramones albums, Rocket to Russia and Road to Ruin, among them. And probably there's no one else who could be more familiar with what the Ramones are all about than Ed Stasian.
Well, you know, we really love working with Ed Stasian. And he's been involved with us since 77. And nobody understands the band better, and nobody has the feeling, you know. I mean, Ed was always a big fan of rock and roll himself, and a fan of like exciting guitars, and you know, and he understands how, you know, to record the band and kind of capture the excitement and power of what the Ramones are, and he does it best, you know. I feel this is our best album. I feel it's a real turning point in a lot of ways, and it's a real sacred offering, you know. I just think it's a masterpiece.
You talk about this new hunger, and I've heard that the Ramones have this new attitude, and after 12 albums and 16 years with one record label, you're with a new label, Radioactive. And I read somewhere that you've been getting some vocal coaching or singing lessons yourself lately. Is that true, Joey? And
well, two and a half years ago, I got sober, and that has a lot to do with my kind of new way of looking at things, let's say. You know, I got a whole different, I'm coming from another place that I wasn't coming from like 3 years ago, you know? And you know, I mean, for me, this album in a lot of ways is kind of a spiritual record to some degree. I mean, it's just that everything I did was I'm very focused, and I knew exactly what I wanted in the writing of the songs, what they are about, the music and the lyric content. You know, I mean, it's, I guess especially the songs that I contributed. And, you know, I just felt everything I did. I mean, it wasn't like I just did something, but I felt every nuance, every syllable. Because when I write, I write the bass lines and the guitar and the drums and the whole bit. And I just made sure that everything was exactly the way I envisioned it. So I feel like I fulfilled a vision. And this is an album I always sort of dreamt about making and never quite made.
Just hearing you talk about the record, it really sounds like it's a really positive statement for you.
Yeah, it's a real positive, optimistic record, you know. And I've never been really more proud of anything I've done than this, you know. I mean, this... I feel this is the best I've done up to this point. You know, I mean, the makeup of the Ramones is, you know, what kind of fuels us is our fans, our, you know, it's the music, and it's sort of larger than all of us. And when we go out to play, I mean, you know, if you're fighting or not, you know, getting on with someone, it's all, you know, when you get out there and you play for the kids, I mean, it all seems trivial, whatever it was that... you know, and it all dissipates, and you don't even remember what it was, you know, by the time you get off stage, you know. And actually, on the new album, I wrote a song for our fans called It's Gonna Be All Right, which is kind of showing our appreciation for them. The coolest thing about our fans is that it's a very broad spectrum. I mean, we get kids into heavy metal and hard rock and thrash and hardcore and punk and alternative, and it's really the spectrum, you know. Fans from all different walks of life and different musical backgrounds and different races and creeds, and it's just like a big family kind of a thing. It's just it's like the great melting pot.
Tell me about some of the players on this album, and you and Vernon Reid sharing a cabbie experience?
Yeah, well, one night I left Overland, our office, it's up on 57th and Broadway. I grabbed a cab, and I was going down to the Village, right? So I got in this cab, and the guy took off, and he was kind of racing down Broadway, you know? And at first, it felt like a thrill ride. It was very exciting, you know. And then he started weaving in and out of the cars and trucks and all the taxis. And it was a Friday night, and Friday nights are pretty congested in New York because everybody's going out. The disco was blasting out of the radio, and the guy was pretty oblivious to, you know, what was going on here. You know, I mean, it was exciting, but then it started getting nerve-wracking. And then we were approaching Times Square, and I'd say we were doing about 90 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour at this point, and I started getting a bit nervous. Everybody had stopped for the red light, you know, at Times Square here, And this guy was just racing along, and we were like almost right up on top of another cab when he like hit the brake at about 90, and I thought we were just going to plow right through the cab in front of us, and I kind of saw my life flash before my face and before my eyes, and I didn't think I was going to be walking out of this, you know, and it was a real harrowing experience, a real kind of a real death ride, you know, and I guess when my terror subsided, it turned to humor, and when I got home in one piece, I wrote the song called "Cabbies on Crack." You know, I wanted to kind of capture the feeling and put the listener in the back seat, the way I was, and kind of create an audio visual kind of experience. You know, so we got Vernon Reed to kind of capture that experience with his guitar solo that he does, you know, which kind of acts as the taxi.
And it turns out that Vernon's had a few of those taxi experiences.
Well, Vernon had a similar experience. He actually had the crack vials on the back seat of the cab.
Pretty scary, swerving at 100 miles an hour. To use the phone, I'm too afraid to put the light on. I'm so afraid I've lost control. I'm suffocating without a word, crazy with sweat, spittle on my jaw. What's that funny noise? What's that on the floor? Waves of fear pulsing with death. I curse at my tremors. I jump at my own step. I cringe at my terror. I hate my own smell. I know where I must be. I must be in hell.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
See you.
Pre-diabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org, but you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio pre-diabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because pre-diabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Thank you. baby. Girl, you drive me crazy. My body comes alive. Gotta make you mine. Girl, you're so divine. Oh, there's no use trying. Make you feel so fine. Gotta have you girl. Take you round the world. Make you start to swirl. Such a lovely girl.
It's 4 o'clock. It's actually 3:56. It's Vin Maganzini time. Acoustic sailing. Hope you're doing well. It's live day here at WMFO. What a great day it has been. We started the show, or the day off, I should say, way back at 9 o'clock, and it was live music all the way till 3. I hope you enjoyed all the music. Mike, you're the best. Mike, you're the best. And Rob, you are the best also. I can't say enough. You guys really knocked it out of the ballpark. The show is Acoustic Sailing, and you should be a part of it. Call 855-915-9636, and I'll play anything that you want to hear. I'm so excited to be here. I'll be here for a little over an hour. It's 3:57 now. This is 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio, WMFO, Medford. All right. The other option is to call 855-915-9636, or if you don't want to call, you can send a message to wmfo.org, DJ chat. Okay, let's do a PSA and get the show started. Here we go. Here's the PSA.
The way I describe it for people is my dad shot himself and the bullet hit everyone in his life. It was a week before my 30th birthday and I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't because I thought I could call him later that week.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
And your friends right here on WMFO. Here's a request going out to John. It is Led Zeppelin on WMFO Medford.
Spend my days with a woman unkind. Smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind, make a new start. Going to California with an aching in my heart. Someone told me there's a girl out there with love in her eyes and flowers. Took my chances on a big jet plane. Never let them tell you that we all are the same. See you was red and the sky was gray. I wondered how tomorrow could ever follow today. Mountains and the canyons started to tremble and shake. The children of the sun began.